Okay, great. Okay, so welcome those on the phone, welcome those here. We're going to be making a siyum today on the second parak of Brachos, very exciting. It's actually a very interesting amud. We're going to start at the bottom of Yudzayin of Aleph. We're going to get to the end of the parak and Yudzayin of Beis. You need an extra gemara here. Okay, so there's actually, it's pretty much all agadita from here till the end. Okay, so not heavy halacha. But these Agadahs are what we'll call famous. They're well-known. They're very well-known Agadahs because I think they're very instructive. There's some, hopefully we'll bring out some interesting ideas from them and learn together from them. Okay, so let's get started. So the part where we ended off was where it says Margil Bapume de Rava. And the last word in the line is Chachma. It's the wide lines, the widest of the lines. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So if you go to the widest line on Yudzayin Amud Aleph, and you count 6 down, the last word in the line is Chachma, and just a few words in, there's a period, and it starts Margal Bapume Derava. Okay? We'll give everyone a moment to get to the right place. Okay, everyone, last word in the line is Chachma, and we're going to start from Margal Bapume Derava. Are we good? We're good. Okay. So, Margalei Bapumi is a Rava, right? A pearl in Rava's mouth that he used to always say, a saying that he was well known to say. Tachlis Chachma, the Tachlis, the main purpose of Chachma, of a knowledge of learning Torah, is Shuva Masin Tovim. Rashi says, Ikara, right? The main point of Torah is not just to learn it, but that it should lead you to become a better person and to do good deeds. So, like I said, we're on Yudzayin of Aleph, 6 lines down from the very wide line. Okay. So it should be Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim. How so? Shelo Yehei Adam Korei V'Shoneh. So that a person should not be learning Torah all day long, but after he learns, Uboeit Be'Aviv V'Imo V'Rabo, but he rebels against his parents, doesn't act proper, give him proper kavod, or to his Rebbe, he doesn't give proper kavod, doesn't give proper respect. U'B'Mishu Gadol B'Menu B'Chacham Minyan, or he doesn't give proper respect to a person who is greater than him in knowledge or in numbers. He should defer to that group, to that person. And he doesn't. So, again, the point is that Rava would say, learning is meant not just to be something you learn, but something that has an impact on what you do and who you are. Shinamart, and the Pasuk says, Reish, it is in Tehillim, Reish is Chachma, Yiras Hashem. Seichel Tov L'chol Hasem. We'll translate each part. The first part is the proof to Rava. Reish is Chachma, right, the beginning of knowledge is Yiras Hashem. If you want to learn, you have to. It's got to bring you to becoming a someone who fears God, someone who has the proper fear of God. You're not going to start disrespecting your parents or acting like. There was a famous phrase. Apparently, there's a famous. I like minor in philosophy in college. So there's a famous philosopher named David Hume. He's a famous philosopher. Apparently, he was not such. He was a tremendous wise person. Not the greatest individual. It wasn't like Balmido Sovo.
He didn't practice what he preached.
So essentially they asked him once, look, you know, you write, he wrote treatises on like ethics and morality and like, you know, philosophy of these different ideas, and yet he was like a pretty disgusting, depraved person. So they asked him once, you know, how is it that you write these books, yet look who you are? So he essentially said, and I'll like kind of like make it more modern, he basically said, when the chemist becomes a test tube, so I'll become ethical. You know, essentially, yes, that's what I work with, but it doesn't mean I become the chemicals. You know, I'm not, you know, it doesn't impact who I am. So, of course, it's meant to be inculcated, and the beginning of Yerushas Chachma has to be Yerushas Hashem. If you're coming at Chachma from somewhere else or devoid of Yerushas Hashem, that's not the purpose. Seichel Tov L'chol Sehem, it should be Seichel Tov, a wise mind. Good mind, l'chol seham, to those who practice them. So the Gemara then has a drasha for the end of this pasuk. What does it mean, l'chol oseham, to those who practice the mitzvot? L'osim, it doesn't say to those who do the mitzvot, l'osim, right, to those who practice the mitzvot. Lo ne'amar, ela l'oseham, to those who, oseham means they do them. They do them. So what does it mean, they do them? So the Gemara explains, l'osim l'shma, what we're referring to here is that someone who practices Torah mitzvot l'shma, for their sake, for ultimately for God's purpose. V'lo l'osim shol l'shma, but not to someone who practices Torah mitzvot for some alternative motive, ulterior motive. some other reason. Now, again, the drasha that I saw, the explanation is that osehem means that they make themselves, because the Gemara says in the next line, v'chol ha'oseh shelo lishma, if anyone learns Torah, does mitzvot, shelo lishma, not for the right purpose, no'chol shelo nivra, it's better that he had not been created. Better that he had not even been created. So those who make them, lo'osehem, right, means that they make themselves. Because if you practice Torah lishma and for the right reasons, you have essentially proven the worthiness of your existence. And if you don't practice Torah for its right purpose, then you should not be in existence. It's better if you had not been born, and therefore you didn't make yourself. You did mitzvot. But la'oseha means you've made yourself through, you've justified your existence by doing the mitzvot the right way. Now, I want to stop for a second, because I'm sure everyone is familiar with another very famous phrase in the Chazal, which is? Yeah, exactly. So that would seem to say that lo lishma is not so bad. In fact, a person, the way in which Tosfos quotes it, Rashi quotes it also, it's the Gemara Masechet. The Gemara Masechet says, not just like, it's a nice thing, but la'olam, always a person, ya'asok azam b'torah of mitzvot, afil shelo lishma, a person should always not hesitate to learn Torah and do mitzvot, not for the right sake, for some ulterior motive, right? Because, as you said, because it will lead one to eventually do it for the right reason. So how come our Gemara seems to say better that that person shouldn't even been born? How do you put these two Gemaras together?
Maybe one is saying, and eventually it'll get there, where they doctor just do it, but they never intending to go further.
Ah,
that person,
okay.
You should have been born. But if you're doing it, and you're
really
in
the game,
and it'll get you there, then it's good.
Okay, you know, hold that idea for a second, because that is one of the famous pshatim that's given. So, Rich is on the ball. So let me start. The first answer that we have on the page here, both Rashi and Tosfos give the same answer, and that is, the distinction is, a person who might have ulterior motives, what are they learning for? They want people to respect them. Wow, he's a big Talmid Chacham. He's a big Baal Chesed. He's very charitable. He's a real philanthropist. Okay, that's not for the real intended purpose of the mitzvah, to give tzedakah or to do community involvement or to do chesed to lynch. Okay, fine. That's not so bad, because eventually he'll realize that there's a greater good, there's a greater purpose here than his own personal benefit. The Gemara, which we have here, which says that this is better, the person never should have been born, is referring to a person who is bala kanter, a person who is learning or doing mitzvot to tease other people, to basically give other people a hard time. He goes ahead and goes into learning just to argue with the rabbis, and so he can sound smart enough, not just to say nothing, but he's going to say something really sharp, and he's going to try and mess up. Every time someone's giving a shir, he's going to try and mess it up. He wants to give him a hard time. Or he's doing whatever mitzvah it is, okay, it's a mitzvah, but he's doing it because ultimately he wants to show up someone else. So it's not just about some personal gain, but it's actually to tease someone else. And that's something that's better you never were created. Another answer that's given, so as Rich said, is actually by the person who wrote something, a statement called the Shol Meshiv. And he said that, saying the Rambam says that, the way you teach kids is not necessarily the way you teach adults. Right? So we have Avos Ubanim, right? So why do kids come to Avos Subhanim? So if you tell them, come to Avos Subhanim because you want to become tremendous Talmidei Chacham. And if you come all the time to Avos Subhanim, you're going to be really smart in learning. And one day you'll be a Rebbe, you'll be a Rav, you'll be a Talmid Chacham. You know what the attendance is going to be? So the Rambam says, no, when you teach a kid, you teach a little Tinok, you tell them, come, and I'll give you a treat. And in Boca, if you come to Avos Subhanim, we're going to give you an Xbox. It's got to be even so big, right? The prizes used to be, I'll tell you, I lived in Baltimore for a year in my fellowship. And there, Avos Subhanim, the kids got a slice of pizza and three french fries. If you won the raffle, you got an extra slice of pizza. Extra slice. And if you came frequently enough, you got a safer at the end of the thing. So that was the, incentive in that community. So here, I know it's like a bidding war. Like, each school, like, they have tremendous prizes. The point is, that's fine. even here. But the point is, that's fine. That's appropriate. Meaning, we understand because shulo lishma balishma, because you grow in life, and even in the matter, whatever, this is the chavadi, we should pass this around. But the chavadi, the siyam. So, okay, you want to have a lishma, that's no problem. But the person spends their entire life, they started the guy who just wanted the Xbox, and the ended the guy who just wanted the Xbox. they never grew in any way through a better understanding, appreciation for what Torah is. You completely missed the point. I understand you start out that way, you grow a little bit. You don't always get perfect. And that's why Chaim Volozhin says, it says, La'olam. That's the way the phrase is, La'olam. Yasok adam b'tor mitzos shaloshma, because La'olam means, that's our natural, La'olam means always. That's the way it is. That's the way of the world. The way of the world is, we all start out in a place where we need incentives to do things, where we need some alternate mode sometimes to motivate us to accomplish something. Okay. Sometimes, you know, whatever we do, whether it's just being life and dieting, right? It's not always because we want to live longer and 50 years from now, but it's because we want people to feel like we look better, whatever the details are. We need some kind of motivation to get to maybe the greater good. And the same is true with learning. So that's another pshat. The third pshat I want to tell you is very interesting. This is by the Netziv. Netziv says, that doesn't always make sense because we have a chazal that says that Balak, right, with, you know, Balak hires Bilam to curse the Jews, and Bilam tells Balak, you know, before I curse the Jews, I need you to build 7 altars and apply 7 korbanos sacrifices to God, right, Hashem, not to someone else, not to Bozar, to God, and through that I'm going to be able to go ahead and curse the Bnei Yisrael. So Balak does that, hoping to curse the Bnei Yisrael, and he gets the bracha. Meanwhile, Chazal say that, well, because Balak did, even though he did Shelo Lishma, he gave a sacrifice to Hashem, Shelo Lishma, he got rewarded for that, and Yas Menorus will have children who are going to give sacrifices to Hashem and build a base of Migdash, right, David? Shalishma. Shalishma Balishma. But the Mitziv asks, according to Rich's shot, according to Sholmesh's shot, Balak never got to a point of Lishma. He never grew in who he was. Meaning, we're saying until now the shot is you start at Shalishma and you get to the point of Lishma. You grew through the process. So there was some value to your Lishma. Here, Balak had value, had reward given to him, he never got anywhere past the starting point. And yet there was a reward for him.
Maybe the reward was that his lineage got there.
No, there is a reward. The question is,
right. Why did he
but
get
he,
it?
He was rewarded, the Chazal say he was rewarded himself for his action. So the Siv says the following. Actually, it's a Shalos and Shuvos that he writes, Mishav Davar, and it comes in the following case. There was a story, in the nearby town, where there was a shul, and apparently there was a big Talmud Chacham, big Rav in the shul, not the rabbi of the shul, but the Rav, some rabbi in the shul, big Talmud Chacham, and they weren't allocating the kibbutzim, I guess, to his liking, maybe feeling like he was being snubbed, he's a big rabbi, he should have a certain, you know, I don't know, what do you get for the Rav, you should have, like, you know, if there's a Dibros, you should get that Aliyah, you should, you know, be the one to have certain kibbutzim, opening the Aron Kodesh, maybe on for the Ela, something big, right? And he wasn't getting it. So he said, this shul is krum. We got to open a new shul. We're to get proper kavod harav. Okay, so the question was he allowed to start a new shul because the shul was not fulfilling the, you know. So the Netziv says, that might be, is that appropriate because it's shelo lishma? He's doing it because he thinks his honor should be properly recognized, not because the community needs another shul, it's growing, there's another development, it needs more space. It wasn't that reason. He wanted to build the yeshiva. So the guy can't get, this Rebbe can't get a job in any other yeshiva. So he's going to start his own yeshiva just so he can get a job. That's shelo lishma, but is that appropriate? So the Siv says, the distinction is, when you're doing what you have to do, things you're supposed to do, okay, like you're doing a Torah mitzvot, then it can even be shelo lishma. But if you're being mechadish, if you're doing something new, something that you are not incumbent upon yourself, a chiddush, either in learning, where you are not just learning the basic halachos or the basic gemara, but you're going to come up with chidushei Torah, new insights, novelty, not right things that are not come out with a new conclusion. That has to be lishma. You cannot come up with something new in the yeshiva, a new shul, a novelty in Torah, without it coming from the right place. He said that comes from the wrong place. It has no role whatsoever. So you have to do, and you're not perfectly in line. You don't have the right mindset. No problem. You'll get there eventually. It has value. So Balak. It wasn't that he was offering sacrifices to God. Okay, that's something that has some value in of itself, offering karbanos to Hashem, and that's why he was rewarded. That's it. So we got 3 explanations to shaloshma, balishma. Okay, so one we said was simply a distinction between whether or not you're just benefiting yourself or whether you're actually hurting others. Second answer was Rich's pshat, right? Richie said that the difference is between whether or not it is, you know, your where you start out versus someone who never goes, like, gets beyond stage 1. And the last shot we said is whether or not you're simply fulfilling that which you are obligated to do, that could be lo lishma, and you'll eventually do it. Or versus mechadish, new things, they have to come from the right place. Those things have to be lishma from the very beginning. Okay, let's keep going in the Gemara. Margala b'pume derav. The first word in the line is nivra, so we're going to continue. Margala b'pume derav. Rav had a pearl of wisdom, he used to always say, lo ko'olam hazeh halam habad, this world is not like the next world. Halam haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia. The next world doesn't have any eating and drinking, lo pir virivya, doesn't have any procreation, lo masa umata, no business, v'lo kina, no jealousy, v'lo sena, no hatred, lo tarbus, no any rivalry or challengers, ela tzadikim yoshim v'atrosehem v'roshehem. The tzadikim will sit with these crowns on their heads, v'nehenim miziv hashkina, and they will benefit from the presence of Hashem's shkina. Shenamar says in the pasuk, "Vayechazu es Elohim, vayochlu v'yishtu." This is said by Matan Torah that the Bnei Israel saw the presence. They saw the presence of Hashem at Matan Torah, and they ate and drank. Now, there's a lot of different shatim here in this pasuk, but what the Gemara is trying to say from here, and Rashi brings this out and says, it wasn't that you see God, so you start eating and drinking. You're in the presence of God, so you start fasting. It doesn't make any sense. Instead, they had such hanah, they had such benefit, they had such enjoyment and pleasure being in the presence of the Almighty, that it was like they were satiated from a delicious, delectable meal. That was what it meant. So that's what the future holds. When you're going to be eventually in the Olam Haba, it's going to be where you're in the presence of Hashem Shina, and you're just going to benefit from His presence as if you were doing all these things that give us some enjoyment in this world and some involvement in this world. Okay, we're up to that. Gemara continues, Gidola Hatacha Shiftichan Akash Baruch Hu L'Nashim Yosem Min Ha'Nashim. Women receive greater security, greater promise for their reward, that their reward is going to come, greater than even men. That the men, they're going to be rewarded with a promise of Olam Haba or some future promise of reward, greater than even men. How do we know that? Shene'emar, Nashim, it says in the Pasuk, it says, Nashim She'anunos Komna, women who are shanos, or women at ease, come get up. Shemana koli, come heart, listen to my voice. The pasuk continues. Benos botchos, girls, you should be who are secure, who are confident. Ha'azein emrasi, listen to my words. So it repeats it twice. One that they're like they're at ease, and that they're like certain, they're confident, they're confident in their rewards. So the fact that it doubles it means that they're extra confident that they're going to receive their reward for what they do. And we'll have a shot in a second why it is that women are so much more confident than men. Like, why is that? We have the pasuk that says it, so why should that be? The Gemara now continues and has a very famous, well-known line, Amar Rav L'Rav Chiya. Rav says to Rav Chiya, Nashim b'may zachyan. Women, with what are they zocha? How do they get their Olam Haba? We know how men get it, but how do women get it?
Letting us go learn.
That's our Gemara right here. The akruye b'nayhu lebeknishta, because they take their little children, bring them to the shul, beknishta, I guess the shul to learn, the school to learn Torah. Ube asnuye gavrayhu be'rabanan, and they bring they allow their husband to go learn in the Beis Medrash, right? So all of our women tonight, this is they let us come. They my wife even she made the franks and blanks here, right? They really helped us get to our learning. Vinatrin legavrayu ad asumi be rabbanon, and they even wait for us until we come home, right? They're waiting until we get home. Meaning, and Rashi says they even wait. If you go away to another town to learn, you're gonna go to Hollywood, you're gonna go to New York to learn. They're gonna wait for you to come back. That is a tremendous patience. That's a tremendous reward that they have. Okay, that's the famous line. Now I ask you a question. Women, is that the only reward they have? Meaning, we know that Nashim are pturos from some mitzvot. They only have to do mitzvot shazman. They're not obligated mitzvot shazman. Grandma's time-bound mitzvot. They have a few less than us. But it's not as though they have no other merit. Like, this is the merit that we find for women to merit the future, the Ma'ika Zachyam. So why is it that the reward is described as what they allow their sons and their husbands to accomplish and learn? You understand the question? Meaning, they should have enough opportunities of chesed, mitzvot that they do, to also merit
Olam Haba, future. The perpetuity of Torah. You can light Shabbos candles.
No, no, there's no question that this is a tremendous, tremendous thing that they do. The question is, why is this it? What is this, what is the point? So, the answer, I'll give you two answers. What? The answer? Lima Torah. So let me develop that a little bit. So the Chafetz Chaim explains that there's the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Am Aretz has no chelak in Olam Haba, has no part of Tchias HaMesim. The question is, the Gemara that's asked is, it's in Perek HaChelak where it has a whole discussion. These are the people who have a chelak in Olam Haba. These are the people who have a future in Olam Haba. But we have a whole list of certain people who are big sinners. Right, Kofrim, those who deny existence of God, they have no important place in the resurrection of the dead. They have no portion in this world. But Am Aretz is not on the list. So how come the Gemara has this line, this like separate line that says they don't have this place in the Tchias HaMesim? So Chafetz Chaim explains that there are some people who have no portion in this Tchias HaMesim because they're punished. They otherwise would. They otherwise could. Hey, they did some Torah. They learned a little bit. We know that Hashem, Bnei Yisrael heard the Torah. They heard Hashem speak at Har Sinai, and they all died. And Hashem says He resurrected them twice. After each of the Dibros, two Dibros, what did He resurrect them with? The dew of Tchias Mesim. What was that? Torah. He taught them Torah. Torah is the dew of Tchias Mesim. What brings us Tchias Mesim to Torah? So you got some people who, regardless of the Torah they have, they are absolutely cut off from all of and Tchias Mesim is a punishment. But there are some, he says, Na'am Aretz. Nebuch. He has no one. He was on a farm somewhere, nowhere. No one taught him any Torah. Didn't hear of any. He's a Jew, but he heard nothing of any Torah whatsoever. Never heard of a single thing. In that situation, he didn't create anything. He didn't have any Torah to connect him to Tchias HaMesim. It's not punished. It's just they didn't create it. Tchias HaMesim for himself. So the question is, women are not obligated, he says in Talmud Torah. Now, they can, but some women, because they're not obligated, might not have learned. So where does their reward come from? So it comes from their connection to their husbands and their children who they allow to go to learn. Okay, that's one shot. I have another shot that I'll give you. I think it's really nice. Another shot that I heard. I'm trying to remember who says it. They say it in different ways, but they basically are saying the following. We all came here tonight. So we are all Mekai in the midst of Talmud Torah. Now, for some of us, we snooze off a little bit. Not as big a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Like, or if we bottle a little bit, if we didn't start exactly on time, if I came a few minutes late, I apologize for starting a few minutes late. So instead of the full hour, or full 45 minutes, 50 minutes, right? We got a few minutes less than what we intended. Okay, the mitzvah is not a little bit less than what we hoped for. But my wife, who sent me here for the full 50 minutes, she gets that full reward because she sent me, or she sent her child, for the whole time. And if I came, or if you came, whatever, for some ulterior motive, I came for the franks and blanks, I came for the kokish cake, I came for the schnapps afterwards, right? So, you know, in that case, our Torah is a little bit lacking. But my wife who sent me, she had no ulterior motive. She wasn't getting kokish cake. She wasn't getting any of this stuff. She has the full mitzvah. So our women, b'may kazachyan, and why is it that they are more assured of this reward than men? That's where it comes off, right? This line comes right after the previous line, which is women are more assured of their reward than the men are, because when they sent you to learn, that aspect, that part of that mitzvah, pure. There's nothing lost. They have 100% of that mitzvah, that time, that benefit, that lishma, that we might lack a little bit. I thought that's a nice shot. Okay.
So I'll keep on telling them.
All right. Okay, let's keep going. So the Gemara says, "Ki habu mister rabbanu mi b'Rabbi Ami." So when the students would leave the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Ami, "Ba'ami la mi b'Rabbi Chanina," when they left the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Chanina, "Amri le hachidu," says the following, "Olamcha tira b'chayecha." You should see your world in your lifetime. You should see everything that you need to accomplish. You should see it happen. And your end should be in the world to come. The tikvascha, and your hope should be l'dorei dorim, should be for future generations, or some say for chas mesim, right, for another beginning. Libcha yeheget tivuna, right, your heart should ponder, right, tzvuna, understanding. Pichei dabr chachmos, your mouth should speak knowledge. Lishoncha, your tongue. Yarchish renanos, it should sing songs. Hafapecha, yashiru negdecha, their eyes should see straight, meaning you should see the halacha, Rashi says, correctly. You should see the halacha in the proper way. Einecha ya'iru b'moratar, your eyes should be enlightened with the light of the Torah. Panecha, your face, Yathiru Kizarakia, should shine like the bright light of the sky. Svatecha, your lips, Yabiu Das, your lips should speak knowledge. The Kiyosecha, and your kidneys, right, your insides, Tazlana Misharim, they should rejoice in righteousness. Pamecha, Yarutsu Lishmo Devre Atik Yomim, and your feet should run to hear the words of that He who is like the oldest of days, Me Hashem. You should run to your Torah to hear the words of Hashem. So that's what they would say. Beautiful, beautiful bracha to each other. I think this is the students would say to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe would say to the students as they left each other. Meaning, you would go off to yeshiva for a year to learn there at Israel after high school, and they'd spend a year learning before they went off to college, or here they would learn for a few years, and wherever they would learn, and when they would go back home to start their panasa, wherever it was, they were leaving the Beis Medrash, and they were no longer going to be a talmid in the yeshiva. They would offer this tefillah to each other as they left. I think this too is actually part one of the things in the Machzor that we say, I think, to our children on Yom Kippur. It's not the bracha that we give, but it's
a child on Erev Yom Kippur.
Yeah, right. There's, I think it's to give to your child, the father gives to your child on Erev Yom Kippur, because again, it's similar. It's a because that's got so many beautiful ideas and hopes for life and encompassing of all parts of your body involved in the right thing. Okay, Kiavi Mifter Abundam Beir of Chista of Amilam Beir of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amr Le Hachi. So when they left the Beis Medrash of Chista, or some say the Beis Medrash of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, they said as follows: Alufenu, our great ones, Mesubalin. Our leaders, our great ones, should be Mesubal. They should sovel. They should like bear, or they should shoulder the following. So it means Alufenu Mesubalin. So what does it mean? Rav Shmuel Bar Amilam Yochan Rav Elazar. So they had different pshatim. What this line meant? Chadam or alufein the Torah, some say it means that our leaders are the leaders of Torah, mitzubalim the mitzvot, they are bearing, I mean they're carrying with them so many Torah, mitzvot with them as well. The Chadam in one said, alufein the Torah mitzvot, no, our great ones in Torah mitzvot, you know something? Sometimes mitzubalim be yisurim, they go ahead and they learn and they're doing their mitzvot under great difficulty and great duress, yet they're still learning and they're doing mitzvot. In Peretz, so the pasuk continues, in Peretz, there should be no breach, shelo tehe siyasenu, among our chevra, among our learning group here, there should be no one to siyaso, shel David, in the group of, the chevra of David, shiyasim in achitofel, David had a student, achitofel, who was poret geder, who rebelled against his kingship. The ein yotzeis, the pasuk continues, no one leaving, no one going out, shelo tehe siyasenu kisiyaso, shel shaul, like the group, the chevra, there should be no one in our group, like the group that Shaul had, Shiyasmenu Doeg Hadomi. The Shaul had one of his chevra, Doeg Hadomi, who went out and he was guilty, as Tosos explains, he was guilty, he went on a bad path. He was depraved, he did horrible, disgusting things. Vein Savacha, and there should be no outcry, Shalot Tehesia Senu Kisiaso Shal Elisha. There should be no one in our group like the group of Elisha. Shiyasmenu Gechazli. Elisha had a Talmud Gehazi, who was his disciple, but eventually said all sorts of crazy things and inappropriate things in the name of Elisha, which is not what Elisha said, and he benefited in inappropriate ways from it. And ultimately, he became a Metorah, and since the Metorah is supposed to be called out as a Metorah, so the outcry is that we are outcrying the Metorah that we have, or the one of our Chevra that we shouldn't have, who could become a Metorah. In our streets. Shleilanu, Ben O Talmud, we shouldn't have a son or a Talmud. Shemagdiach Tavshilu Barabim, who essentially cooks his food in the streets, but he does disgusting things out in public. No.
You would get out in public and darshan all these drushos. Hagados Shaldoki. Nonsensical rushes in the Torah, lahadicha, in order to push them off in the Torah. So obviously it was taken out because of the censors. But in the
that way he had it in the text of the Gemara.
Yeah.
Oh, in text of the Gemara.
Text of the Gemara.
Uh-huh. Which is cool.
So he says this is part of the text.
Got it. Okay, so we're up to two dots. So the pasuk says, "Ishamu Eli Abire Leif." So the Gemara says, "Listen to me, those who are strong-hearted." Harachokim mitzaka, were far away from needing tzaka. So Rav Shmuel, Zamila Rav Yochan Rav Elazar. So some say Rav Shmuel, some say Rav Yochan Rav Elazar argued about this. Chad Amar once said, Kol ha'olam kulo nizone b'tzaka. So everyone in the world, normally, your parnasa, things you gain, Hashem does have a chesed to you. You know, you do so well in business, you do so well in life, certain things you get, Hashem did as a chesed to you. V'heim, but these individuals, these tzaddikim, nizonim b'zroa, they can basically come to God and say, I earned it, I deserve it. Not that they're doing it inappropriately. The point is, l'shvach, as they were saying, how great they are, they really deserve whatever they get from Hashem, as opposed to us. We call it namat kisufa, right? We have the bread of embarrassment that Hashem gives us so many amazing things, and we're not always so deserving of it, or we don't always repay Him in kind with the equal amount of great things that we do to reflect how great things He does for us. The Chad Amar and the other pshat behind this pasuk is kol ha'olam kulo nizonim bizlechusam. You know, there are some generations where the whole Jewish community is saved, or the whole Jewish community receives good parnasa or security because of the presence in their midst of one tremendous tzaddik. V'heim, but that tzaddik, afil b'zchus atmo ein nizonim. But he, that tzaddik himself, you ever go into like the house of the Chavetz Chaim, or you go to visit some tremendous Tamei Chachamim, you go to their apartment, their house, little room, barely furnished.
Yep.
Meager means meager situation, meager lifestyle, right? They're eking out a parnasa, barely earning a living. And these people, it is through them that the multimillionaires and billionaires in the Jewish community have what they have. But they themselves, meagerly eking everything out. Because Rav Yehuda Amarav, the Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Yehuda Amarav says as follows, B'chol yom v'yom, every day, Bas kol yotzeis mi'harchorei, there is a heavenly voice that comes out from Harchorei, from Har Sinai, the Omeres, and says, Kol olam kulo, the entire world, nizonim b'shil chanina b'ni. They all are basically given their needs because of chanina b'ni, chanina my son, chanina b'ndosa. The chanina b'ni and chanina b'ndosa, a tremendous man, tzaddik, writes a lot of stories about the great things that he did. The chanina b'ni, dailo b'kav charuvin me'er Shabbos or Shabbos. And what does he eat? What does chanina b'ni eat all week? One measure worth of charuvin, carob, from week to week. That's all he eats. That's it. That's all he has. Yet the entire world is satiated because of his merit. And finally, so basically we're talking about in some way, right, in some way, tzaddikim here, or...
Almost fasting.
Yeah, almost fasting, actually. Upliga, but both these explanations argue with Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda Amar, we're talking about like some connection to tzaddikim here. Rabbi Yehuda says this whole pasuk is referring to Rishayim, opposite, okay? Ein lam tzaka, they get no tzaka from them. Why? It means they're hard-hearted, they're Rishayim, because mana bir lev, govai tipshay, these govayim who are very foolish. And Amar Yosef Teda, why these govai very foolish? Because you know, not a single one of them converted. So who are these govai? So they say, so I think it's Rashi quotes, they are the name of a nation. They are, it says in the Gemara, they are the Nesinim. So the Nesinim are the Givonim. And the Givonim were this group that came to you. So Yeshua was like kind of running with his army through, you know, conquering Eretz Canaan, right? For the Jewish people, they crossed the Yarden. They encircle Yericho, they take down the big city of Yericho with its walls, and everyone is scared. So the Givonim, they know that all the nations of the land of Canaan, we don't make deals with them. We made deals with Moab, okay, we made deals with all the nations around, but we didn't make deals with any of the seven nations of Canaan. So the Givonim came, and they dressed up like they were foreigners. They said, we recognize you guys are special, you guys are going to control the whole land, we want to join you. We join forces, we want to become with you, we are Jews. Meanwhile, they were totally lying. They were totally playing a charade. They had no interest in becoming really Jewish or anything like that. They did a bris milah. They made a peace treaty. They made a bris, a covenant with Yeshua. And ultimately, they've discovered that these guys were playing a whole charade, a whole show. And this was just a joke. They really had no interest in becoming Jewish and becoming joined. And they were one of the indigenous, you know, indigenous people of Canaan. They were supposed to be wiped out. But not to make a chil Hashem, to like kind of, you know, show that Yeshua is not following the treaty. So ultimately, he didn't kill them, he kind of accepted them, but they never really converted, and ultimately they all I forget where it is. They say that they all became eventually of the Avodah Zarah. They all basically off that. None of them ultimately really converted to be a full Jew.
Wow.
So that's what we're saying here. They're so foolish because here they were so close to Bnei Israel. They really had inner chance to really realize how special the opportunity is to become Jewish. They even almost came this close, but none of them actually went all the way. Similarly, Amar Ravashi, Bnei Masa Machasya, also the people of this town called Masa Machasya, Abiri Leid Ninhu, they are very hard-hearted. The Kachazu Yikara Doraisa, they see the beauty, the Yikar, the preciousness of the Torah, Trezimni Bishasa, twice a year, none of them became Jewish.
Right.
I mean, twice a year they saw the Torah. So they were in a place where there was a nice Jewish community. They had a tremendous time. A chacham come twice a year to darshan. We mean. So you ever hear of the term yarchikala? So nowadays, when like someone wants to make like a day of learning, like on a special topic, we call it yarchikala. So yarchikala means like we're gonna have a yarchikala today. I don't know, on like the topics of Israel or Shabbos. Right? We'll call yarchikala. But in those days, Yachi Kala meant the month of the Kala, right, the bride. What that means? It was before the Shol Shvigalan, so we're going to come to meet Hashem, and the month before we need to prepare. So the farmers or the people, they would stop working a month before, so they could prepare and learn Torah, all the lachos they need to learn before Pesach, a month before Pesach, for the month of Adar, and they would learn for the month of Elul before essentially the Yom Nerayim and Sukkot. Shavuot, they say, is very the one day holiday, not many mitzvahs going on. No mitzvahs in fact, right? Really, particularly mitzvahs of the day. So, except for cheesecake, okay, fine. So therefore, Shavuot was not available. Okay. Got it. The one is you just planted, and one is you just harvested.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Makes sense. But also they say it's because I think they quote because Shavuos. I think it's close to Shavuos. Shavuos didn't have really a lot going on. Yeah, it's about Aseret Shein El Yom Echad. Shavuot was only one day. It wasn't that many days. It wasn't that much going on. So they didn't make Yachdikah before Shavuot. That's supposed to make. Yeah, no, that's what we said. But again, maybe agriculture also. They didn't have the time. Anyhow, the point is that these guys had a month of learning in their midst, and they didn't a single one of the non-Jews there decide to convert. They must have not. They had like you can't. You must have not even. Had, you must be really hard-hearted to see a month of learning going on in front of you and not. Be like, wow, I want to be part of this. Okay. Let's finish up this parak. So we're back to the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah has said that a chassan, before he consummates the marriage, he doesn't have to say Kriyashma because he is preoccupied and can't have the proper kavana. But Rabbi Gamliel, he was a great man, so he did say Kriyashma. So the Mishnah has said that, like in the name of the rabbis, that if a chassan wants to go ahead and say Krishma, he may. And Rabbi Gamliel said, but hold off, not everyone can say, I'm a great rabbi and I should be saying Krishma. So Lokal Rosalie told us a shame, not everyone who can wants to take the name, I'm a rabbi and I can say Krishma, should take the name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Memra, the Gemara says, the Rishim Gamliel Chayesh Yura. Rishim Gamliel is worried about this audience. What's Yura? Yura is from the word Nahor, light. Or like it means actually something like sparkly, something shiny, something that catches your attention. Someone's trying to show, like it's like showy, someone show off.
Right.
So he's worried you're gonna be a show off. If you say I'm gonna say Kriya Shema, I'm a great person. Right. He's worried you're just showing off. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a really great person, you don't do such things. For Rabban L'Chayesh Liyor, but the rabbis who said anyone, the chassan says I can say Kriya Shema, fine. They're not worried. That looks like he's being haughty. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's trying to be holier than thou. Doesn't look like it. I mean, one sounds like one's worried about that issue. One says, seems like we're not worried about people trying to do extra things. It doesn't seem to be one that makes them look holier than thou or haughty. Mar says, v'hayiv chashmein lehu. We have the opposite in a different Mishnah, where the opinions seem to be reversed. It's not, we learn in the Mishnah, makom shenahagu lasos melacha b'tisha b'av, in a place where they have the tradition to learn, to work on Tisha B'Av Osim, you're allowed to work on Tisha B'Av. Makom Shenagu Shelo La'asos, in a place where the custom is not to work on Tisha B'Av, Ein Osim, they don't work. You're not supposed to work in that place. V'chol Makom, in any place, anywhere, regardless of the custom, Tamei Chachamim B'Teilim, a Tamei Chachamim should not be working on Tisha B'Av. Should be focused on morning. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, La'olam yase kol adam es atmo ketamei chacham. No, not just the great rabbis, but everyone really should act like they are a rabbi, take on that practice, and they should not work on Tisha B'Av. Work should not be done on Tisha B'Av. So wait a second, Kasha Derabban Derabbanan. In this later Mishnah, the rabbis there says, sounds like only the great rabbis should not work. And no one else should do that, because otherwise it looks like you're a little haughty there. You're a little, you know, you're chayish liyura. And Rabbi Gamliel says, everyone should act like the rabbis. Everyone should make themselves like a rabbi on Tisha B'Av. Sounds like he's not worried. That makes you look like you're greater than you really are. So it's the reverse. Kasha Derabban Derabban. Kasha Mishnah Gamliel. They seem to contradict each themselves with these two different cases. So Amr of Yochan, Mukhlasa Sashita. Yochan says, you know what I'm saying? I don't know which one, but you have to go ahead and reverse the names of one of the cases. Meaning in one case, it wasn't Rabbi Gamliel, it was really the rabbis, the Rabbanan. And the other case, it was really the Rabbanan, not the Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, so to make it, their opinions have to line up. Rav Shisha Brei Deravidi Amar, he says differently. La'olam, lo tachlis. A person should not go ahead and switch it up. And in fact, we can maintain the way the text is, which each opinion as it's listed, and we can explain it as follows. Derabban, Derabban, Lokasha, the rabbis are not internally contradicting, and the reason why is Kriya Shema. The reason by Kriya Shema, where they said anyone can go ahead, and if they want, can say, I'll say Kriya Shema the night of my wedding, is Kevin Dekuli Almukakaru, he's going to go to shul that night, right? Or imagine like at the end of the wedding, they have a Meir of Minyan, and the chassan, with everyone else at the wedding, who's there, just his family, there's his friends, whoever stayed late, right, to the end of the wedding, he's going to say Krishma with everyone else. So it doesn't look like he's doing anything out of the ordinary, different than the people around him. He's not sticking out like a sore thumb. Granted, he doesn't have to, and he's taking the stance of a person who's great, but it doesn't seem so such a big deal, because everyone else is also reading Krishma at the same time. So lo mixtakira, it doesn't look like you are haughty. Hacha, but here, in the case of Tisha B'Av, Kevin Zekuli Alma of Demelacha, the whole world is working. And you put big sign, off to work with the rabbi. I mean, sorry, clothed like the rabbi. Iuka loka abde, mixtakira, that looks like, if you close your shop, Dr. Oppenheimer is not working on Tisha B'Av. He thinks he's not just a rabbi, he's not a doctor, he thinks he's a good rabbi. Okay, you know, that already looks like you are right. If I were to do that, that would look like you are right. I'm not such a great rabbi, but that would look like you are right. Okay. The Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Lokasha, and we can explain Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's sheet as well. Hasam, in the case of Kriya Shema, he says, you should not go ahead and take on the position of being a great rabbi, not saying Kriya Shema, because the Kavana Tal Yemilsa, the whole point is you have to have the tremendous, proper Kavana to accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven with all of its intentions. The Ansahadi, and we know who you are. We know you. And we know Dilomati Lukhvidaite. We know you're not the kind of person like a great Rabbi Gamliel who can have all the proper intentions. So who are you fooling? Avahacha, but in the case of Tisha B'Av, Haroa, someone sees that you're not working that day. Omer, Malachu Demo, the guy doesn't have any work that day. I mean, there's lots of people who don't have work every single day of the week. There's some people who sometimes, you know, they have a job, or they just don't have a job that particular moment, or they're off. So look, sometimes I'm off on random Tuesdays also. You know, my practice is such that sometimes I have a random day off. Okay, so Tisha B'Av, a random day off, they're not going to assume it's because I'm a great rabbi. They're just going to say, okay, the guy didn't have any work that day. In fact, that's a great line. Finish it with this. Pokhazi kama bat lani ikibashuka. You know, go out in the street. Go out and you'll see how many people are not working. There are plenty of people who are just not working any given day of the week, and they are not such great rabbis.
Yeah.
So the point is, it's not the jura if on Tisha B'Av you're not working. Not a big deal. Now, we'll point out, by the way, that they quote, this is an interesting Tosa. Tosa says, so first he says that we pass in like this last opinion, And a person should therefore not work on Tishba because it's not such a haughty thing not to work on Tishba. Tosa says that nowadays, we also pass in that the chassan, we don't have such kavana, so the chassan should go ahead, and also he should say Kriya Shema the night of his wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And what if someone says, I'm not going to say Kriya Shema? Because, you know, the main halacha is I'm not going to have intention, so I'm not going to say Kriya Shema. Tosa says that would be haughty, because you're basically saying is, usually I have such tremendous kavana in my Kriya Shema, such kavana, that tonight can't get there. I'm just not able to get that level of kavana. You guys, everyone else here, your level of kavana is not such a great kavana. You guys can say Kriya Shema all the time, but I am at my wedding, I can't say Kriya Shema because I'm such a great person. And tonight I can't have that perfect kavana. So Tosa says that would be you. That talk would be Yora. I heard from Rashad, this general thing. So what's this idea of Yora? We'll end with this, and then we'll say Hadra Allah. So I heard from Shechter explains there's a mashal that the Gemara gives. I think it's Sota. That what is the idea of Michzi Kiyora? So first of all, there was this Talmud he once had who decided he was going to walk every Shabbos. I know some people sometimes, it gets quoted by Shulchan Aruch that you walk with your talis to shul. You wear your talis to home, it's found at home, you walk to shul with it. He said, that made a lot of sense in Sfat, or in some Jewish communities where, like, you know, you're walking through the community on Shabbos with your talis on, it's very nice. But if you walk through the heights, he says, and whatever garbage is on the streets and whatever's walking around, to walk with your talis looks kind of weird. It doesn't really accomplish the idea of what it's meant to be, like where you're wearing beautiful things. So this Talmud was doing it, and the rabbi of the shul said, I don't think you're supposed to be really doing that so much in this community. Like, it doesn't make so much sense here. So maybe you should ask Rosh Shiva. So he went to Rosh Shafter, and he asked Rosh Shafter, and said, as a joke, he said, it's not Michzik Yura, it's Yura Mamish. Meaning, it doesn't just look like Yura, it is Yura. All right, fine. So he said, what is the idea of something that looks like you are greater than you are, holy than that? By doing mitzvot. We're talking about someone who's, we're not talking about people who do bad things. What are you going to do, really? A special mitzvah, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? So
one in the morning.
Said the mashal that the Chazal gives is if you have a woman who is dressed beautifully, right? Really dressed, decked out, elegant gown, and she then puts on beautiful jewelry on top of that, that jewelry will enhance her beauty. She's wearing a beautiful outfit, beautiful gown, and she puts on, right, that looks very nice. But if you have a woman who's wearing pajamas, and then she puts on the pearl necklace, and the long hanging, you know, diamond earrings, and the tiara, she looks bizarre. So someone who goes ahead, his M.O. is to do the basics. Nothing wrong. It's not Russia. Nothing wrong with him. He does the basics. He does all the mitzvahs as they're said, and that's it. And for this thing, he's going to put on a diamond earring. I mean, for this particular Chumran Shabbos, he's going to say, oh, wow. You know, the Shulchan Aruch said, a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. I could be a Baal Nefesh. But the rest of everything he does is not a Baal Nefesh. He doesn't, everywhere the Shulchan Aruch, I mean, the Mishnah Berurah says Baal Nefesh Yachmir, that a person who's a special level of an individual should be extra careful.
He doesn't
do all those. So this is literally a guy who's wearing his pajamas. And he puts on one earring, one special, looks weird. That's not normal. That's not normal. So one of the tainas that they give one of the things that people ask is, well, nowadays some people wear tchelas, right? Some people say they refound the tchelas. With smack of yuhara, with smack of like the haughtiness holier than thou, you wear tchelas? Meaning, should we say that, you know, if you buy tchelas, that's like saying, you know, I'm better than everyone else. I got tchelas. Or not. That's one of the claims that people make. So Schechter says, that's not the same analogy. Because whereas all things we're talking about, even here as well, these are things that are not the basic level. We're talking about high level, extra, beyond what's called for. Tchelas, on tzitzis, is a pasuk in the Torah. If you have four-color garment, you put tchelas on it. Now, whether or not you agree that nowadays this tchelas is the right tchelas or not, okay, that's a valid discussion. But if you think it's the right tchelas for you to put it on, isn't like I'm doing a special extra-level mitzvah that only special people should do. No, you're doing shtei mafurish nechumish, what it says in the Torah. That is not yuhara. Granted, whether or not it's correct is a mesorah, whether it's that's a different discussion, but it's not considered to be, so where it's tchelas, a level of haughtiness or holiness endow, or an issue of Europe. Okay, Shkoyach everyone, Hajjal Chayakore. Mazel Tov everyone for the first CM Parak in Brachos. We should be Zoychus many more. We should also be at Make a CM ultimately on the whole Masechta, we hope. So as you point out in the as Mori gives out the schnapps, they have some. You have a. Yeah. All right. So what's it called? We said that on. Let me end the. Sorry, Shkach. We'll end the recording here.
Let's say it again.
The average, the normal range,
270. Oh, yeah, that's a big range.
But the average is 670 on the second one feet on a higher end.